Well, today we are rounding off our six-week series based on the book Bullseye, Aiming to Follow Jesus by Jamie Holtam and Debbie Johnson. And in this book and through this series, we've been looking at practices that will help us to grow deeper in our faith and discipleship. So do you remember what we've looked at over these last 6 weeks? We've looked at daily spiritual practices and how those help us to grow in our discipleship. We've looked at worshiping together weekly, the importance of gathering in the community every week and setting that as our goal, as our ideal. We've talked about building authentic community. We've talked about serving others, serving in the community. Last week, we talked about giving generously and how that helps to develop our faith in God. And so the sixth target today is sharing Christ. As we heard from the book of Romans that Lindsay just read, sharing Christ, how beautiful are the feet of the one who brings good news. So after today, I'd be really curious if you would tell me or send me an email, let me know which of the six topics has spoken to you personally, which one has made you think, and which was maybe a challenge to you. So I'd love to hear that. But let's begin with a word of prayer. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the blessing, for the privilege that you call us to follow you. You call us to be your disciples. You call us to go out into the world and share the good news of salvation that has been given to us. And so we pray that you would guide us as we reflect today. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Amen. So this week's target of sharing Christ actually fits so beautifully with today being Palm Sunday. Because Palm Sunday, of course, we're remembering the crowds of people who lined the streets, lined the roads that lead into Jerusalem, and they lined up there and they were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Right? They came out en masse to publicly declare their devotion to Jesus, who they believed to be their long-awaited Messiah. The Gospel of Luke tells of how the Pharisees saw this. The Pharisees saw the crowds, and they demanded that Jesus tell his disciples to cease and desist. And he responded. Do you remember how he responded? He said, "I tell you, if these, my disciples, were silent, the very stones on the side of the road would shout out." Right? There's no keeping it quiet about Jesus. This is the natural reaction of anyone who has had a profound encounter with Jesus. You want to tell everyone what you've experienced, how he's made a difference in your life. A few years ago, I read the most amazing autobiography. It made such an impact on me. It was the autobiography of a Chinese pastor called Brother Yun. And Brother Yun helped to spread the gospel through Chinese house churches throughout the 80s and 90s, despite horrific persecution. In his book, he tells of being beaten unconscious numerous times. His legs were crushed. He was shocked repeatedly with electric batons on various parts of his body, and still he wouldn't stay silent. Still, he kept on preaching the gospel. When he was locked in prison for several years, he used that time in prison to tell the other prisoners and even the prison guards about Jesus. And he baptized many of them in the sink in the prison washroom. Reading the book made me feel like a total fraud as a Christian, I tell you. Eventually, of course, he was forced to leave China, and now he lives in Europe, or in Germany, and he speaks throughout Europe and North America. And he wrote in his autobiography some words that I found so convicting. I felt very convicted when I read these words. He wrote, "When revival came to believers in China, the result was thousands of evangelists being sent out to all corners of the nation. When God moves in the West, it seems you want to stop and enjoy his presence and blessings too long and build an altar to your experiences. All genuine revivals of the Lord result in believers responding with action and soul winning. When God truly moves in your heart, you cannot remain silent. There will be a fire in your bones, like Jeremiah, who said, 'His word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot.'" Furthermore, he wrote, "It's only when we step out in obedience and share the gospel with people that we come to know God's blessing in every area of our lives." I sometimes think that for us in the West, it is so easy to become a little too comfortable in our faith. It wasn't very long ago that Canada was considered a Christian country where everyone went to church on Sunday. So the kind of urgency that Brother Yun describes to share the good news of Jesus with others is kind of foreign to us, right? We didn't grow up with that sense of urgency to tell it. The thought of evangelism seems distasteful, partly because a few years ago, evangelism would have meant poaching from another congregation, right? Which is not a good idea. But now it's distasteful because our idea of what evangelism means, what it is, has been tainted by what we see in the media. So the word evangelism conjures up images in our minds of con artists with big teeth on TV asking old ladies to send in their life savings so that they can buy a private jet to fly to their mansion in Fiji, right? That's what we think of when we think of an evangelist. Or when we think of evangelism, we might think of people knocking on our doors at the most inconvenient time, every time, and trying to impose their beliefs on us. Or when we think of evangelism, we think of someone standing on the street corner with a bullhorn getting in the way of people who are trying to go to work and drilling them with fearful messages of imminent damnation, right? In other words, when we think of evangelism that way, it's not something that any of us want anything to do with, right? But that's not what evangelism is. And that's not what Brother Yun was doing. He was imprisoned and tortured for talking about Jesus to people who wanted to hear about him, right? He wasn't imposing anything. People wanted to hear it, and he was imprisoned for that. The word evangelism comes from the Greek word evangelion, which simply means good news, right? So an evangelist is someone who brings good news. And in the context of the Christian faith, that good news is about Jesus. That good news is about his self-sacrificial death on the cross and his victory over death so that nothing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God. About 12 years ago now, I guess it was, at the church I was serving back at that time, I led a study with a small group on a book called Unbinding the Gospel. Some of you may have heard me speak of this book before, Unbinding the Gospel, where we learned that evangelism is not about cramming religion down people's throats, right? It's about simply being able to talk easily to people you care about and explain what your faith means to you, right? And a lot of us don't often spend time thinking about what does my faith mean to me? Why is it important to me? Why is Jesus important to me? Right? So we spend time just thinking in this study, we spent time just thinking and writing out about why we were Christians, why we're Christians, and why Jesus is important to us. And then we, in a small group, a safe small group, we told each other our stories, right? And learned to articulate why our faith is important to us. And by the end of the six-week study, people were surprised to find that they could articulate clearly to other people what their faith meant to them. So target number six in Bullseye is sharing Christ. And we know that sharing our faith is a central part of the Christian life because in various passages of the Bible, Jesus specifically sends his disciples anywhere from 12 to 70 at a time to proclaim the good news, to proclaim the coming of God's kingdom, to preach and to heal and to cast out demons. Usually they were sent out with a sense of urgency, like what Brother Yen talks about, to tell others about the coming of the kingdom of God. It's here. It's now. It's more important than anything else you're doing. In Luke chapter 10, for example, Jesus warns the disciples. He tells them straight out, some people will receive the good news they bring, and some people will reject it. But they should just keep going. Just keep on proclaiming the message. Just keep going and keep at it. What he does not say is to stay and fight with anyone, right? No throat cramming, no arm twisting, just an offer, an invitation. Because if they stay too long trying to convince someone who doesn't want the message they're bringing, then they may waste time in getting to the person who is ready and who is willing to listen, the person who does want to hear the message that they bring. Because we know that there are a great many people who do want to hear the message of hope that we have in Jesus. There are a lot of people in our community, in our neighborhood, in our families, who feel a sense of dissatisfaction with life, who know that something is missing, and they just don't know what. There's a void or a hole in their hearts, and they try to fill that void with other things, with money, achievements, with relationships or activities or work or drugs and alcohol or entertainment or scrolling endlessly through videos, you name it. But there's always something missing. These people may not know how to pray for themselves. They feel something's missing. They want God. They don't know how to pray for themselves. And so they might appreciate someone saying, I'd like to pray for you. And I assure you, I have never had someone say, no, please don't pray for me, right? Or you might know someone who's going through a difficult time in their life who might be receptive when a friend says, you know, I went through a really difficult time in my own life, and what helped me was being part of a church community. Would you like to come with me to my church? Right? I saw hockey legend Paul Henderson being interviewed one time on TV, and even Paul Henderson talked about having it all, having a great marriage, a great life. He was making a ton of money doing exactly what he really loved, and he was a national hero. And yet he spoke of never being able to feel content, right? And having no clue what was missing until he met someone who asked him to volunteer his time at a Christian camp for teens. It was as simple as that. They asked him to come and volunteer at this camp. And he said that after that, he learned to live lightly and freely. Those were his words. He learned to live lightly and freely while he spent hundreds of hours reading the Bible on airplanes. Now, he did say that he would put the Bible hidden inside the covers of a Playboy magazine because he was embarrassed to be reading the Bible. If someone could have a life like that, a life like he had, and still feel like something was missing, then how many of the people that we know in our own ordinary lives feel the same and just need someone to say, hey, this is what gives me hope. It may not be for you, but why don't you just come and check it out? Now, of course, we have this great Alpha program that makes it easier than ever to invite people to just come and see, to come and explore what the Christian faith is about. Now, are there millions of people who don't want anything to do with the Christian faith? Yeah, of course. There were lots of people who rejected Jesus when he was walking the earth right under their noses. In our time, there are a whole lot of people who have been turned off of Christianity, whether by bad behavior in the church or by specific people in their lives who were supposedly Christian. There are lots of people who buy into the negative media image of Christianity. Every time you see a Christian on TV, it's a negative image and has, you know, no looks nothing like the people we actually see in church on Sunday mornings. So there are people who will reject it, but Jesus extended the invitation to all, and it was always theirs to accept or reject. What we can do is what the Apostle Peter advises as being the key to sharing Christ. He wrote, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." Just always be prepared to give an answer, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But, Peter said, do this with gentleness and with respect. Right? When you see a door open, be willing and able to talk about your faith. And when you're ready and when you're praying about it, you'll suddenly find doors opening all over the place. Do you feel prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have in Christ? Growing up and even into my early years of ministry, of training for ministry, I never really knew how it was that we go about witnessing to our faith. How do we explain to others the hope that I have in Christ? Now, many churches and many denominations make it a priority to teach the practice of witnessing to their faith quite methodically, and people in those churches learn it as children. But the United Church has never been good at that, right? We have always just considered ourselves to be the national church, right? And so we figure that if we just open our doors on Sunday morning, people will come for the same reason that they go to Tim Hortons or Canadian Tire, right? It's just a part of our national identity, right? That's not the case anymore. So here's a true story. When I was ministering in Iowa, I was working part-time in a church. I became a Pampered Chef representative on the side to supplement my income. And Pampered Chef always wanted us to recruit new reps. And so they taught us a formula to convince people that we would say to people, we would practice like our elevator speech, right? So first, we were supposed to tell people what our life was lacking or what our need was before becoming a Pampered Chef rep. So like, I needed an exit to supplement my income. Then we were supposed to say why we decided becoming a Pampered Chef rep was right for us, what appealed to us, like I can set my own hours kind of thing, right? Then what it is that we enjoy about being a Pampered Chef rep, right? Like I get to go out and meet wonderful people. And finally, how being a Pampered Chef rep has changed our lives forever. And I was at this meeting, and a light came on. I was like, this is the formula that one would use to witness to their Christian faith. Here I was learning ministry skills at a Pampered Chef meeting that I was never taught in seminary. Just change the words Pampered Chef rap to Christian, and it sounds like this. Before I decided to follow Jesus, my life lacked focus and meaning. I was just flying by the seat of my pants through a self-centered life and never feeling really satisfied with anything. I committed myself to following him because I wanted to know what God's will is for my life. And now I'm part of a faith community that encourages me, and we work together to love and serve others. And I know that Jesus guides me and sustains me whenever I'm going through difficulties in life. And my life has changed because of it, because I now know I have a purpose and a sense of hope and peace in my life in all circumstances. It's as easy as that. And I'm going to challenge all of you to go home this afternoon or this week sometime and write out your own story. What was your life like? Why did you decide to be a Christian? How has it made a difference in your life? And how has it changed your life? That is sharing Christ. And that is being prepared to give an account as well. So the Bullseye book also names a number of ideas that can help us to get closer to hitting that target of sharing Christ. And so the authors say that the first thing is to know why it's important, why sharing our faith is even important. And there are a number of reasons we could give for why it's important, but Debbie and Jamie sum it up in the book saying, because we love people, and we love God, and we want to bring them together. That is their big why. Another tip they offer is to just invite people to church, especially for special occasions like Easter Sunday, when there's lots of joy and energy and special music. Jesus himself didn't try to talk people into believing in him. He and his disciples usually just said, you know what, come and see. And we can take that same approach. Instead of thinking that we have to explain all of the mysteries of the Christian faith, we can just say, I love going to my church. Why don't you come and check it out? God invites us to be a part of the great work that he's doing in the world and to enjoy the results of our faithfulness. Our job isn't to prove anything. Our job isn't to turn anyone's hearts. Only God can do that. But it is a great feeling to see someone's life changed for the better because we took the time and made the effort to extend our heart and our hand to them, to share with them the hope that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.